Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tonight, we're going to take a look at a business which has gotten a lot of attention lately. Video games. Play them for fun, but invest in them at your own risk.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dassler, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanel here, Tommy, joining us, rounding out the trio. It is...
It's me, Adam Knox. Tommy, fashion report, I like the little heart that's near your sleeve, not quite on.
Thank you. you like the little comme de garçon man, do you?
Well, I don't know if I'm willing to answer that question. I don't know what you're trying to trick. You like Ligma, do you?
Yeah. No, that's the brand. That's their little guy.
Yeah. Right. That's like the gator.
Yeah, yeah.
That other one.
Which I was talking with a friend of mine.
I'm not sure what you're saying. And I feel like I'm being tricked. I've got so much remaining trauma from the Ligmas and the Bofas.
Sure. Yeah. Well, when the tennis was on, my friend was saying, like, if you were a professional tennis player, you can be kitted out by any brand. Who would you pick? Mm-hmm. And Comme des Garçons would be, it's crazy to me that they haven't gotten on board the, you know, sponsoring a tennis player.
Right.
Imagine a big designer. This little guy on a tennis outfit. Oh, they could do something beautiful with that.
I'd got to go your Kitsune Maison.
They're the
fox.
Other one. They're the
Rip Curl.
Hot tuna.
Mambo, get the farting dog on a tennis player.
That's true. If you're an Aussie, go an Aussie brand. Get Mambo, which has, I think, been sold to like Woolworths or something like that.
Oh, they're all probably the one person.
Yeah.
Big cartoon pig.
Yeah.
In every house, stepping on people with his big money sack.
Kokonakis is sponsored by Cotton On, which is insane to me.
Yeah, that's a bit tacky.
Real budget Australian fashion brand.
Yeah.
No logo or little guy to speak of. Yeah. You need a little guy. If you're going to sponsor an athlete, you need a little guy that they can proudly have on them.
Mm. You know who knows that marketing piece of advice very well is Nintendo, Japan's most valuable company, I believe.
Right.
There was a thing that they've got like $11 billion in value and no Ooh. Debt.
Yeah, yes, that's right.
I think it was that they are the most valuable company in Japan. And they've got their little guy at the front, Mario. Nowhere to be seen, though, in the last week's Nintendo Partner Direct.
Imagine if they pivoted and they went, okay, guys, no more hardware, no more software. We're a fashion brand now. And Mario just becomes like the little, like the little Ralph Lauren bear.
Yeah.
It's just like he only exists as a little embroidered emblem on a breast.
Man, he could just like take off all the other ones as well, because Ralph Lauren's other one is the guy playing polo.
Exactly, yeah.
Just have Mario on a little Yoshi with a golf club.
Yeah, he's probably played polo in one of those sports games before.
He's got to. Is polo in the Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
Mario and so Sonic might have played the polo.
Oh, sure.
But maybe Mario did.
So in the way that now people go, oh, you know, Nintendo, actually, before they made video games, they used to just make card games. Mm. You know, in like 100 years' time. You know, before they were a fashion brand, Nintendo used to make these things called video games.
Before they went out of business because they've pivoted to being a fashion brand.
Yeah.
Before they were a fashion brand supported solely by one man in Australia called Tommy something. Mm-hmm. Bizarre. $11 billion of clothing.
Yeah, I would too. And I'm by the time people hear this, I'll probably be camped out at the front of the Nintendo store in Tokyo.
Yeah, you'll be rubbing shoulders with Luigi,
mm-hmm.
Waluigi,
yep.
And others.
Meeting Luigi being like, how's your brother?
Yeah.
Oh, people always ask me about it.
I get a bit of a feeling that Waluigi doesn't have too much of a presence inside the Nintendo store. But maybe I'm wrong.
Well,
he's a Western internet
man. He definitely does seem like, we in the West care way more about him than the Japanese do.
I wonder if he gets that we think he's a joke too. I hope he's not one of the... You know, sometimes there's those people, they're like, oh, my fans, and they don't realize, like, no, people are following you because they... think you're a little off the rails.
Yeah.
Waluigi would be doing lots of live streams on TikToks, but right. going like, oh, thank you for the galaxy.
Sure, yeah. He's overpriced his cameos by way too much.
But people still get them for like their sort of half friend's birthdays as a joke.
Yeah.
They can also get each other several games for birthdays that will be coming out in the coming months. They're in this Nintendo Partner Direct. I don't remember everything that was out of there, but it was, I had zero expectations.
Me too.
And saw at least three or something where I was like, oh, okay.
Okay.
I don't remember what they were though. Tommy's got a list.
Yeah. Okay. Hang on. This list I brought up is dog shit. I'm going to have to get another one.
If they brought out
Top 10 gangster movies of all time.
If they brought out Mario Fashion Party, I'd be in for that.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Even if it was developed by a third party developer, as Peach, we're talking about today.
Peach is wearing different costumes for each of the different jobs. Jobs in the Peach Parade or whatever that's called.
Yeah, what is that called? Peach Superstar?
Showtime. That's out soon, actually.
Yeah, March.
I guess Mario Odyssey was a bit of Mario fashion.
Yeah.
You could buy all your little different hats. And
he's always had his Tanuki suits and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
So, yeah, I when they do these, I kind of expect them to just be like, yeah, the new WWE game is coming out on the Switch.
Mm-hmm. And we can get this five-year-old fucking game or like this Xbox 360 remaster or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of
that. And well, there probably was that in this.
Part of this was a lot of those... heavily rumored and discussed Xbox first party games coming to the Switch. Mm-hmm. One of which is Grounded
and Pentiment, right? Are the two on the Switch at this point. And Hi-Fi Rush and Sea of Thieves are the other ones that are coming to other stuff.
Yes.
I don't remember if we actually talked about that on here post the press conference podcast thing going live.
We did.
I think it might have. I feel like we maybe didn't. We did.
We talked about the press conference, but
I don't think we talked about the actual thing. We talked speculos.
No, we did.
We talked about the thing.
Yeah. Beg to differ.
You opened the episode by saying that we were three board members.
Before it had been on, though.
No.
We just knew it was going to be that.
We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
I'd swear we didn't. There's no way to ever know, though, unfortunately.
In fact, it was less than a week ago because we're doing this earlier than
I'm willing to put money down.
All right, $10.
Deal. I don't think we talked about it properly last week. We talked about the PlayStation one.
Would you like me to get the episode
Let's
up?
Do it live.
I asked you before we recorded what you've been up to since last week, and you said, oh, not much. And I think you've been out smoking meth. Something's happened to erase your memory.
The usual.
Yeah, not much. Nothing
meth
worth
doesn't make my
on.
Memory worse. It makes it sharper. I can see where all of my enemies
makes
are.
Makes my hearing better.
Would it have been... Oh, no, sorry. It was the previous week.
Yeah, where we speculated about it, and then it actually happened on that Friday, and I don't think we actually wrapped it up last week because I remember walking away.
Well, how are we going to...
I'm walking away.
Let us know in the comments in the future who owes who.
Are you just playing the episode?
Yeah.
Oh.
How else was I meant to... Find
no,
it
we
out.
Gotta move
this
on.
Way, with a perfect memory.
We gotta move on.
Okay.
all right. So yeah, that is that's coming out. Grounded's coming out April 16th. I'd forgotten we played a bit of Grounded.
We
for
did
a video on our YouTube channel.
We did
which
play
you can
Grounded.
Go
yeah.
back and check out. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was, you know, when they were saying in that press conference podcast, which we definitely talked about last week. Mm-hmm. So sorry for retreading old ground.
Mm-hmm.
They made this big point of like, yeah, we've got these online service games that are really popular. So, you know, we want to broaden out the audience. Like, I don't, like hearing that it was that popular is surprising to me because outside of us playing it, I've never heard of anyone talk about Grounded.
Yeah, I feel like
it came and went.
It came out in like early access like years ago, and I think people had a go of it then. Like
I kind of thought it was still in early access.
And it's been yeah. I think played decently on Game Pass and stuff like that. But
right,
all four of these are just, you know, they're not earth shatterers, which was part of the whole thing around the discussion about Xbox that we briefly dipped our toe into but didn't fully analyze was that they like don't have that first party like big bangers type like Pentiment for me is the best game out of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, it's afterthought-ish. That's nothing about the quality.
It's just like it's an indie game. It's not a big first-party game. Yeah. It's not a system seller.
I know what you mean. It's hard to imagine with any of these anyone being like, oh yes, this is on Switch now. But
they're not
really,
big
really
flagship tentpole things.
Yeah. No,
yeah. Even if they do have ships in them, some of them.
Yep.
But yeah, so that was a part of this. Mm-hmm. There was a new Super Monkey Ball game that's coming out, which I think more of them have been bad than have been good, like the first two on the GameCube.
I think this might, is this maybe another remake as well of like the third one or something?
One. Oh, okay. But I could be wrong about that. And also, how much difference is there really?
Yeah,
you're balling along a monkey.
Mm-hmm. I think there was like a new one semi-recently that people were like, eh.
Right.
A game called Arranger, a role puzzling adventure. It is the guy who worked on Braid. Mm. I think it's his art direction.
Okay.
It's like a few different people kind of coming together who each have their own pedigree and different stuff that they've made. And it's like an RPG where you're like shifting the tiles around.
Yeah, the rows and columns, but it's sort of like a 2D puzzle-y thing. Yeah.
It looks cool. And the art looks cool. Cool idea. A bit more news on Unicorn Overlord.
Which one's this?
This is the one, I think it's a like strategy one, a tactical strategy type game, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
By the people who did Suikoden, is that right?
VanillaWare.
Oh, okay, then I'm wrong. VanillaWare is
but
like
they're a company that has a good pedigree and there's a demo of this now. People have been really into it.
Okay.
It's I kind of heard it described as if you played Fire Emblem and thought this is for babies and you want a more intense strategy role-playing game.
Okay. Right.
What if you played Fire Emblem and thought this is for babies and I love it?
Well, then maybe not so much. maybe you won't be into Unicorn Overlord.
I know, it is a silly name.
That's a baby name.
Babies love unicorns.
Yeah.
They can only count to one horn.
Every time I see it written down, it kind of takes my brain a few seconds to put it together. Because it's like, surely it can't be these two words put together.
Well, it's like triangle strategy.
Yeah.
Those sorts of names that are, for some reason, they seem to happen in this field, that tactical RPG sort of field too. But I probably won't give that one a go because there's just so much stuff coming out at the minute.
Well, it's out soon.
That's good that people are liking it.
It's out next week, in fact. And there's a demo right now that you can have a go of. Monster Hunter Stories 1 is coming out.
That was a 3DS game.
Updated remake. And then it's time for, I don't know, a remake of Epic Mickey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. People seem hot on the idea of that coming back out too. But like I went and played some Epic Mickey because we did a Disney special thing a bit ago and I wasn't enjoying it.
That was that the Wii game?
It was on the Wii.
Yes.
I tried
to play a bit of it on the Steam Deck, which was pretty difficult to get the like pointer controls and stuff to work.
Yeah.
But this is a complete redoing, tweaked controls, updated visuals, and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, kind of interested to play it. But it's a weird one. It's always one that I kind of felt was received as a bit of like a 7 out of 10 when it came out. It's certainly not like a, you know, it's not like, oh great, Mario Galaxy's finally available on the Switch. That's like a beloved, you know, instant classic. This is just like
that's how I felt about it. Like going back and playing it, whatever that was, a couple years ago now, I guess. It was the design of the levels and stuff like that that was the flat part for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't really the controls that were the issue.
And I kind of like the idea of like him, you know, putting in Warren Spector putting in Oswald, the rabbit who was like the precursor to Mickey. And there's that story about how they had to like make a deal with he was some sports broadcaster who Disney wanted to like get back, and they like, or like another company wanted to get him off Disney, and they like traded the rights to Oswald.
Oh right,
for Dennis Cometti.
Something of that nature. It was like Oswald, the trademark on him had lapsed or whatever, and Universal owned it, and so basically there was like a trade where they got this sports broadcaster that Disney had under contract, and they got the rights to Oswald the Lucky Rabbit back, so that they could put him in this video game.
That's weird.
But there's also that story where Spectre's like a huge Donald and Scrooge fan, and he wanted to make like a, you know, open world like basically DuckTales game. And I saw this during the week. I never knew this. They were working on an Epic Donald after this that got to like a... You can look it up.
I'm so glad that they didn't, because Googling that now would just give you the worst fucking subreddits in the world.
Well, if you look it up, there's like, they were in like prototype. There's not just concept art. There's like a, you know, there's like screenshots of like an actual build of a game that exists, which could have been cool. But yeah, I don't know. I guess anything with Mickey on it is going to sell, you know, guaranteed X number of copies, and has been a little while since that original came out. So yeah, it could be cool if they've tweaked it enough. But yeah, it always seemed a bit of a missed opportunity to me that it didn't seem like they had that much Disney stuff in there, other than like bringing back Oswald and having Mickey in it. Obviously, it seemed like you were running around these fairly generic 3D platformer worlds.
That's how I kind of felt about it. Yeah.
Then we've got Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Oh yeah,
Vengeance.
This is a DLC, or because sometimes with these games they do put it out as a full new game, like with Persona 5 Royal and stuff. Is this a DLC? Anyone?
I don't quite know. I had a feeling that maybe it was like a side thing or something.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so the way they've done them in the past is like Shin Megami Tensei 4 Apocalypse was same as 5 Royal, like a new updated version of the game with more stuff in it that was its own distinct game. Could be that again. I haven't looked into it.
Shin Megami Tensei 5 like remaster came out.
It just came out on the Switch. Like, that was a new game.
Oh, right.
On the
right.
Switch a few years ago.
Yeah.
So this is the Royal to that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection.
That was surprising and kind of cool. Like, the fact that it will have there'll be new servers for it. And it'll be, I think it's like 64 player. People have a fondness for those two games. I never played them at the time or since. But I could see that being a bit of fun for the people who were into it back in the day.
Yeah, I guess I remember like early days of getting my own like gaming PC as an adult and getting onto Steam and being like, what can you get? And there being like a Star Wars collection for like, you know, $20, and it just was every Star Wars game up until like KOTOR 2 or something. And these were in there.
Yeah.
And they were fine. I think they were a bit more revolutionary when they first came out because of the scope and like the scale and all that kind of stuff.
And they were like on the PS2 and the Xbox and whatever. So at the time, 2004-05-ish,
right?
Having that sort of Battlefield style thing on a console was cool. I think was part of it too, whereas that's obviously happened for decades now. But this, to be clear as well, is those like PS2 ones, not Battlefront 1 and 2 that came out in 2015 and whatever.
Yep. Also, a little bit more info on South Park Snow Day, which is out at the end of March. Not really interested.
No, it doesn't look great to me for whatever reason.
Yeah.
There's been more bad South Park games than good. Those two RPG ones were cool, but this doesn't look like it's at that level to me. But I've been wrong before. Not about the Xbox thing, but about other stuff.
Definitely about that.
Something called Sword Art Online Fractured Daydream.
Oh, yeah.
Unicorn Overlord.
Yep. Gundam Breaker 4.
Some other bits and bobs, right? Like it was sort of a...
Yeah, Super Monkey Ball, like you mentioned. World of Goo 2, I think had already been announced.
With the Gedge and Gonno.
Yeah, another Crab's Treasure. Penny's Big Breakaway.
Which you've played, right?
I've been playing a bit of, and really enjoying.
Okay.
You know what? I'll talk about it here.
Talk about it right now. All right. I dare you.
The floor is yours.
So this is the people who made Sonic Mania, and the best Sonic game there's been in a long time. By all accounts, they were pretty ready to, you know, make more Sonic stuff, and Sega said, no, thank you.
Don't get us wrong, though. We'll make more Sonic stuff. We'll make way too much of it.
Yeah.
But you go home.
Yeah. And it will all be not nearly as good as the stuff you guys can make.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a 3D platformer. It's funny because it really does. Like, they're clearly, this team are very Sega-inspired in their aesthetics and their style of gameplay. This really does feel like a Dreamcast era, like Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg.
One of those specifically like the GameCube Sega type.
Weird, like, you know, weird, like new attempt at a like crazy mascot kind of guy. So you're running around these levels. You're a little girl who's got a yo-yo that's come to life. You've entered yourself in this talent show in front of the emperor of this world that you live in. It all goes horribly wrong. You become a fugitive. You're running through these levels being chased by the police.
How'd it go penguins. Bad enough that you're on the lam after?
Yeah.
She fucking sucks at the yo-yo.
But yeah, you've got your... Yeah, you're doing these 3D platformer levels that are more like a Super Mario 3D world kind of thing than a, like, you know, very, like, funneled in one direction rather than being, like, open exploration.
Like a Sonic game.
Yeah, like a Sonic game. It totally is. I feel like if Sega had kept them on board, they would have probably made this for them with Sonic stuff
right.
on the skin of it. Although, yeah, there's a it doesn't move as fast as Sonic. So you've got your yo-yo, which you can use for a little dash. You can ride it around if you've got like enough momentum. So if you're like walking up to a hill and you hop on it, you'll be able to like, you know, roll around. You can do like you can jump in the air and then you can sort of use it, the yo-yo, to swing. So the yo-yo will just kind of hover in the air and then you can just do like a little vine swing thing.
Yeah.
Just like regardless of where you are.
That's the one I was imagining being your ability.
Mm. And it's fun. I love the presentation of it. I love the style of it. It's a really fun 3D platformer. It does have some little bits of controls that maybe need a bit of tweaking in a patch. I've seen a lot of people talk about like clipping through walls and stuff like that. And then last night I had this thing happen where I like jumped up and I just kind of kept floating up into the air thinking I'd gradually reach a point where it would like reset me or whatever. And I just kind of left it to see how long it would go. And I just kept like sailing up into the heavens.
Hell yeah.
Like Poochie in his final episode on The Simpsons. But it feels like it's got a little... I'm always curious about these things that just get surprise released. Like this got announced a while ago, and from when it got announced, I was like really into the style of it, really thought it looked great. And, you know, when it's just, oh, it's out now.
Yeah.
I kind of always wonder what the story is with that. Like I feel something like this probably would have benefited from sending it out early to people and getting some good press because it is sort of a bit... feels like it's kind of under the radar.
It's a busy time at the minute too.
Yeah,
there's a lot of big stuff around.
And maybe needs that little bit of extra control tightening. Hopefully a patch comes soon. But yeah, I'm into it so far. It's so unique looking. I love that really like garish palette that they've gone with. And yeah, that era of. But yeah, it is. It just really makes you realize how crazy Sega are that, yeah, if they could have had something like this as a cool take on a 3D Sonic game and also this team with a bit more money and resources, like it'd maybe be like a bit smoother. I think it's definitely more interesting to have it be its own thing. Like I'm kind of glad it's gone that way. But yeah, I don't know why they don't just take this team on as like their, you know, as their like... team who are like actual fans of Sonic who kind of seem to have a better idea of what people want a Sonic game to be than Sonic Team necessarily do. But yeah, good game. Maybe hold off until it's patched.
Okay.
But yeah.
The controls.
The controls. Just the controls, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I had seen a bit of that being talked about. I hadn't really had any issues with it myself until last night. It finally hit me.
It's on the PC as well, right? And
yes.
I don't know about the other consoles.
Yeah, I think it's on. I think it's on everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Penny's
Big Breakaway. Yeah. Cool game. Really creative style. I recommend it. Then we got multiplayer for Watermelon Game.
Oh yeah.
Cool.
Cool.
All right.
They need to try this all week, but haven't gotten around to it yet. But and they're also doing online multiplayer. Mm-hmm. At a later date.
Is it like Tetris, I'm assuming, where when you do well on your side, it throws shit at them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think you maybe get, you get to like choose when you can like dump stuff on them and stuff like
right.
that. Yeah. Which seems cool. And yeah, for a game of that style, definitely, definitely fits it. Pepper Grinder is out on the 28th of March and a demo of it is online now and I've been playing it and it's very fun.
Oh,
which was Pepper Grinder?
Pepper Grinder is it's like a pixel art 2D platformer. You've got like a big drill.
Yeah,
and you're running around. You're kind of drilling through the earth to get gems, and you know when you come out of the earth, you're getting a little boost jump thing. So you're kind of having to control your friction through the
like a dolphin.
Yeah.
Imagine if moles could do that.
Whoa.
Imagine walking around seeing moles going boom. It'd be awesome.
We probably would have harnessed them for tunneling and building and shit like that.
Or people would go around like to where they know moles are and try to scoop them in a bucket before they go back in the ground.
Oh yeah, big net.
That'd be fun. Go moling. Big net.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I got 50 moles.
But yeah, the
it's so many. I've lied about the score that I got. Clearly, that's too many moles.
But yeah, this was really fun, and I'm looking forward to playing the full thing. I know 2D. Pixel platformers are a dime a dozen, but this kind of reminds me of, I forget the name of it, the like drill one on the Game Boy Advance that I was playing. I don't think it's Mr. Driller. Drill Dozer, I think it's called.
That might be it.
But yeah, just a cool new mechanic. Seems like one of those ones where they're going to really like wring everything they can out of this idea. Pretty simple idea. But yeah, that's out March 28th and the demo is up now. Pocket Card Jockey.
This is another 3DS remake, remaster, re-release type thing.
3DS and I think the phone as well.
That sounds right.
Yep.
The telephone.
It's like a horse racing betting game?
No. It's a so there's a demo of this as well. So this is out now and there's a demo of it.
Right.
Okay. I've played the demo and I'm having a good time with it. It's solitaire. So you're getting your horse, you're doing basically three rounds of solitaire, and in between each one you're sort of watching watching a little movie of how your horse is doing in the race.
Okay.
Are you
getting more or less money at the end of the race based on how your horse did?
Yes.
That's a horse racing betting
game.
Your rounds of solitaire are kind of influencing how your horse is doing in the race. So how quickly you clear it, whether you get all the cards done successfully. And then you're also like in between them, based on the stamina and the power that you've built up in your round of solitaire that you've just done, you're then kind of like choosing a little route for your horse to take across the track.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go more to the center, that's going to mean that your next round of solitaire is going to be harder, but you'll get more stamina and power as a result of that.
Okay.
There's also like little cards will pop up on the track, which kind of help you. So you want to try and angle yourself so that you'll pick them up. So you're doing three rounds of that with those little strategic placing yourself in between. And then you're getting like a final sprint where you're actually controlling the horse and sort of moving it up and down. And you can use, you may have, while you're playing your solitaire games, you may have picked up some speed boosts that are going to help you get to the finish line quicker in that final sprint bit. And then your horse is leveling up and getting experience and getting like buffs that'll help in the solitaire games or that'll help it in the race. And you're getting money to buy items that are going to help you, and then, you know, unlocking the ability to get new horses with different abilities and train them up. And yeah, it's cool.
That is
it's
cool.
Fun.
Mm. I feel like this came out originally around the same time that Solitairica did on the phone.
Okay.
Oh,
I was always a Solitairica man.
Yes, I played Solitairica.
I'm a Solitairica man.
But this is one that I think maybe, especially in Japan, was like incredibly popular.
It was.
And,
right.
You can really see why, and especially like in a handheld medium, like a 3DS or a phone. This is like a souped up version of it, where the little animations that you see of the horse running around the track are a little bit more involved than they were on the phone or the 3DS. Right. This is a Game Freak game, by the way.
So what's wrong with it?
Yeah.
the loading screen hitches up from time to time.
I see.
But yeah, this is fun. It's really cool. I'd never played solitaire before and didn't know how to play it. So I'm
really
discovering solitaire through the medium of horse racing.
Get a load of fucking Johnny Two Friends over here.
I wonder how it'll be for, a couple of solitaire bloody veterans over here.
Well, there's been a bunch of card playing going on in my household as well.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to, there's a couple
let's
more
quickly
bits in you.
Oh, wrap this you wanna, up. Okay. Let's just see if there's anything else worth talking about. There's a new Contra game. There's a bunch of Rare stuff is now on the Switch Online.
That's true.
Which is called Blast Core. Killer Instinct, and Endless Ocean.
That's
the other one is coming out, which I've never played and don't really know anything about.
You're swimming around in the sea, looking at whales, looking at dolphins, yeah. The moles of the sea.
Yep. Echo style.
It's, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
You're swimming about. Not quite Subnautica, I don't think. I've not played the two that existed in the past, two or three. But that type of thing where you're exploring an underwater environment, but I think it's a bit more chill.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Is my impression of it. Chill, unlike the gameplay in Elden Ring, which they put out a trailer for the DLC for that, Shadow of the Erdtree.
Yeah.
That's out on the 21st of June, and it looks A-okay by me.
Yeah, it looks sick. Fully, like, different version of the map. Well, kind of, like, it's...
A new area.
It's a new area, similar assets, but different vibe, and, like...
About the size of Limgrave.
Yeah, right.
He said in an interview.
Which is sizable. That's a And then, yeah, new bosses and new story or extra story stuff, and, like... Great trailer, looks sick. I'm very excited to play
this. He was doing some interviews, Miyazaki, about some general things. Like, they wanted to do sort of an in-between of... There are a lot of very open areas in the main game, and try to get a bit more dungeony stuff happening in those in-between areas.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll be a bit more dense and detailed in terms of what you're doing in them, which sounds exactly what I wanted to make that game even better.
Right.
Some of the new, like, abilities and weapons and stuff that you could see little glimpses of in this trailer look cool. There was, like, a ninja kick going on.
Oh, yeah.
That looked rad.
Yep.
The entrance to it will be that big egg with the arm coming out of it after you beat, what is it, Malekith or whatever his name is?
The Lord of Blood.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I will have to play through the game again to get to that point to get into it.
Right.
Is the only bit where I'm like, please just give us a jump in option.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a not stupid way of fucking doing that. I know that you make your games how you want to make them, and you love to make people walk up to a certain place.
Yeah.
Please don't make me do that, though.
What do you mean? Like, have to go all the way back through the game?
Go to that point, beat that boss to be able to get to that egg to get into this bit.
Oh, I see.
And that is often how these DLCs work in From games, too, is there's an entrance point somewhere or whatever there's not really a menu where it's like, go to the DLC.
Right.
So just because I love that game, but played through it like four times to get all of the shit.
Yeah.
And I think got to the point where it was like the start of a new playthrough. Would have to do a new character or something, play through 75% of that game or something to get to that point.
Sure. Yeah. It's not even a... it's an optional boss.
It's an optional boss, and it's a late game optional boss.
Yeah.
So... That has me like a little worried that'll be the only way to get to it, which will just be like, feel like busy work.
No offense, but sucked in.
I think I did the same thing. I think I'm on like New Game Plus 5 or something, and I'm probably not anywhere near having done that. But it's June? June
the 21st.
I'll get back to it.
I just don't. It'll probably be a new character or something, I guess I'll make. I mean, exactly. Oh, no, you've got to play your favorite game.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I played heaps of it and I don't want to.
Yeah, if there is an option, that'd be sick. But no indication of that yet.
Well, hey, speaking of playing great games, the other big news story of the week, Adam, I know a lot of listeners dying to hear your take on the news that
Xbox press conference happened. And yeah, we haven't given our take yet, so let's get into it. Because I think the reason we didn't is because it was so wet and nothing. Anyway.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we did say that when we covered it.
We didn't talk about it yet. not properly.
I love this being our Mandela effect.
Something, as you say, less than a week ago.
Absolutely zero importance.
Where either one or two people have just forgotten that Nelson Mandela existed. Yeah. It's not even, so just who's Mandela?
Yeah. Did we talk about Mandela dying in prison on last week's episode? I can't remember.
I don't think we would have.
We definitely did.
No, it happened as we were leaving.
Didn't we talk about him leaving prison and ending up like...
PSVR 2, they are working on PC support.
Yes. They're working on it. I don't think this constitutes a promise yet or right. any sort of announcement, but they... So... Good news in a way, where like, cool, that headset will be useful if they are able to implement like
yep.
Actual support for it to be a PC headset, which I don't quite know how that will work because it's a USB-C cable that has like HDMI over USB-C, which would only work with certain types of GPUs and certain types yeah. of like USB ports on a yep. computer. So you'd have to have a specific... set up. I don't know if they'll work on an adapter
yeah,
or something.
Yeah,
and if
yeah.
they listen to this episode and they're like, fuck, he's right, we can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, scrap the plans, boys.
Well, too let's hard. Go back and check if they did talk about Xbox. They did? Oh, well, then he's a fucking idiot. Or they didn't and he's a genius.
He's a genius.
So that's one aspect of it, but whatever.
Guys, we've got to put our Vision Quest Pro on to to work out how we can do this.
A dongle or something could potentially fix that, maybe. Yep. Like yeah. to just split it out into a display port and a USB.
Oh, a dongle
or something
fixes
like
everything.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love
yeah.
a good dongle.
Yeah.
But then the other thing about this, like, so yes, it'd be cool that that could be used for like PC VR games. Mm. It does also suggest pretty heavily to me, though, that it's an abandonment of it as a platform for the PS5.
Yeah.
And they're figuring out ways they can sell through remaining stock.
Again, yeah. much like them last week sort of saying, No big new games coming out for the next year, and we're sort of thinking about this as the back end of the life cycle.
Yeah. It's only just clocked with me that the no sequels thing would mean no Astrobot either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
And so to say, because you're totally right, like it does, I mean, surely their intention in putting this out is showing like, oh, we're thinking about the platform being really versatile, but I think most people... read it as yeah if you have good games coming out on your thing, you don't need to be thinking about
no
other
why,
places people
why
can
would
use
you
it.
Do this if
yeah.
you had like
Nintendo
yeah.
aren't going you can use the Switch as a microwave now, we're working yeah. on that
because obviously with the Apple Vision Pro coming out and like the way people talk about the Quest 3 now is those two competing
right
you could see that maybe they want to throw whatever hat they have into that ring, but this being compatible with a PC wouldn't suddenly enable it to do all of the extra things that those headsets can do,
right,
especially the quality of the pass-through that
yeah.
they have.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, if you're like, what you should be thinking of this of is an extension, an accessory of the PlayStation, something that like enriches your library of IP that you have,
mm-hmm.
not a thing that you've just made that people can go and use somewhere else in the house.
Right.
You know, it's such a defeatist.
Like, but yeah. that being said, like, you know, their headsets work on a PC if you put the USB stick that they come with in there, and a lot of PlayStation accessories work.
Yeah, yeah, you can use it. You can pair a DualSense and...
Yeah, yeah. So...
I was in the Apple store the other day and they sell DualSense controllers in there, which seemed crazy to me. But I was like, oh, well, you can play Apple. You can play Death Stranding on the phone.
Yeah,
and
right.
Apple TVs and shit they pair with easily.
Oh,
like they're
right.
made, they updated them to be very Apple compatible. So, yeah, they're positioned as a...
Which did make me right. feel like an old man of just like, yeah, wanting to have a bit of a go at maybe some cloud stuff potentially, while we're away okay. in Japan, and just being like... Oh yeah, I've got like a bunch of different controllers at home. I can just chuck any one of them in the suitcase.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll pair with the iPad. Mm. And if I'm able to get a signal, I'll be able, like, just that as a concept.
Right.
Like to anyone, you know, under the age of like 30. It's just like
yeah.
that being a big deal. Like it's yeah. such a non like yeah,
a
of
realization.
Course, just everything
like,
pairs
yeah, yeah.
with everything, but it's like no, back in the day, you had your Super Nintendo controller and that was it. It plugged into the one thing.
Yeah.
And
I think it's specifically being related to cloud stuff too does mean that like if you're edging towards 40 in Australia, then you're doubly behind
yeah.
the eight ball.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. There's no way that's top of mind. Yeah.
I was trying to watch some stuff yesterday and had a nightmare day of internet. And I went, I can't wait to be in Japan, a country where even the free Wi-Fi in a public toilet is going to be better than the best NBN granted connection you can get here.
You don't specifically keep having to go to public toilets for your Wi-Fi, by the way, Tommy. We've been meaning to talk
but
to you.
But he's already there, and why not?
So it like not it, to look a gift horse in the mouth.
No,
it'd
exactly.
Cool.
It's great for people who already own it and have a PC. Like it's,
like
yeah,
the range of games you can get on the PC that are VR compatible, and especially the mods and shit that are there. It's just a better platform for all that stuff.
Yeah.
Especially when the competitors don't have first party games to push you towards their system.
Yeah.
So it's cool that they're working on that. There are people who were already trying to mod it, and it seems like it was really difficult and they're making progress, but I assume that will halt.
I wonder if it would be funny if this came from like them saying to Valve, like, hey, why don't you put Half-Life Alyx on the PSVR 2, and them going, no way, we will absolutely never have Half-Life Alyx running on the PSVR 2.
Emailing emailing back an Uno reverse card.
Yeah. Well, may we introduce you to a dongle.
So, yeah, it's, I guess, it's cool. It is cool to be able to use that in that way because it's a great headset that being a PC headset to... It maybe isn't the crazy value proposition that it was as a PS5 exclusive thing.
Right.
Like if you have a PS5 as well, then it may be the best one to get if you're not bothered by the wire.
Mm-hmm. But it should be a nice little bonus, not like, oh, I'll actually be able to play some stuff on it.
Yeah.
I'll be able to download Half-Life Alyx and actually play that on, I don't know.
It's
a bit weird. And also, but also just weird to kind of just very vaguely say like, oh, we're working, like, you know, it almost.
So just, if you're thinking about buying one, maybe buy one.
Yeah, it's like implement it and then just be like, you know, just drop it as like, you know, a random bit of news.
They just whispered it to a blog or whatever. Like it wasn't a big thing. And again, it isn't like a done deal or whatever yet. They just said they were trying to make it work. And it could be that it's just because they think that adds value to this thing they want to support for a long time, but it doesn't feel like that given the last year of releases on that, or lack of releases on that thing. So you know, cool, but also to me looks pretty nail shaped and quite a long one of those coffin type nails.
I feel like I maybe need to like biff you in the face now after we talk about big news, so that maybe then it'll register as a memory.
Yeah, that'll help.
We talked about it this week.
Head trauma will definitely lock it in.
I need to somehow make this a core memory.
You need to get a little elastic band around your wrist and you just flick it every time we finish a news story.
Other option, you could trust me.
We could memento style you and just like tattoo you after every episode of the news stories that we wrote about.
Don't trust PSVR.
It'll just say Nintendo Switch about 500 times then.
I talked about Penny's Big Breakaway and Pocket Card Jockey, but...
Speaking of cards.
Speaking of cards, and boy, speaking of just hours out of my week being gobbled up, I have been playing Balatro.
Yeah!
B-A-L-A-T-R-O.
A really good and memorable and logical name for poker,
it
basically.
Is. I like that it's one of those words that sounds like one of those silly card game names.
Yeah, and it does have some origins in something. It was like an ancient Roman thing or something.
Oh,
okay.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it's Joker Poker is what it is.
And it is fun as fuck.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good.
You talked about it a couple of weeks ago.
I did. I played the demo and now.
I remember that one.
Hey!
Shit.
Now we've all played the full game.
Yeah, it's been in early access for a bit, I think. And I don't know if it just recently came out. There's a light above our heads.
Just had an idea.
There's a light above our heads that we tape up because it looks better on the video, but the bit of paper taped over it came off and it scared the shit out of
me.
A light suddenly appearing over my head turned on some fish part of my brain.
Oh, the nukes are the you know, they dropped the nukes.
Not as advanced as that. There's a fish above me.
The light in a room changing very abruptly, even subtly, makes you think like my eyes are short circuiting.
Yeah, true.
I'm dying.
Yeah.
Do you know, I this has nothing to do with anything, but it's an interesting fact about moths that I didn't know. Do you want to know about
speaking
this?
Of lights, yes.
You know how they go towards the light? It's not because they like the light.
Mm.
It's because they use the moonlight to orient up for themselves.
Okay.
Because the way they fly through the air, it's so thick that they can't feel the effects of gravity properly. Mm. So they can't orient themselves with that. They use the moon, and so them getting stuck on a light is them constantly going like, fuck, man, ups everywhere.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
That's how a moth works.
That seems like a cruel piece of design.
A really awful experience for them.
That's a horrible existence.
Human beings are a disease.
Yeah, get rid of us.
One at a time, starting with all of us being out of the equation from us because we're indoors playing Balatro with the lights off.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very fun, like retro-styled card game. It looks like an Amiga game or something like that because they have this like CRT filter on by default from the start.
Yeah, which is kind of funny. I do like it, but it's like it doesn't, you know, Inscription, the idea is like you're playing this cursed video game that you found. There's no real reason for this game to look like. There's no setup of like, oh, this is like this old version of it. Just all looks
aside
all kind
from
of like,
it being like a Windows 3.1 pack-in game.
Totally, yeah. Like Acorn Computers would have had Balatro, and all the Brits would have been like, "See, our weird computers are actually good."
Yeah, man. If Balatro had existed since the late 80s,
it does a good job of feeling like that, though. Of feeling like you're emulating this like old classic, like cannon fodder or some shit. It is a card game played with a normal deck of cards, but as you go through each round, Ben explained this a bit the other week, but if you don't know or don't remember, which can happen, it's a series of rounds where each time you are trying to reach a certain score with a limited number of hands that you can play. You're playing poker hands.
And limited number of discards, which, when you play five-card poker, obviously you can chuck some cards back.
Yeah, you've got a hand of seven or eight or something when you start a run, and you are trying to make the best poker hand that you can. Every time you do, you get scored on the value of the cards involved in either the pair or the two pair or the flush or the whatever that you've done, as well as a multiplier based on the level of hand and the difficulty in attaining those cards, and also based on the jokers that you pick up during the rounds. In between each round, you get a little shop where you can spend money that you earn.
Kind of like in a Slay the Spire or like a roguelike sort of thing where you'll hit, you know, the shop point. You'll be like, all right, I want to add this card to my deck.
It's a roguelike card game.
Yeah.
So stop me if you've heard those fucking words put together before, but it's doing it with some pizzazz.
Yeah.
Take it from someone who's always bounced off those kinds of things pretty quickly. This has hooked me.
Yeah.
If you look at this and you hear this and you think, this isn't for me, it probably is for you.
Yeah.
It is actually really good because in between those rounds, the most valuable thing you can buy, to my mind, there are several different items you can get, like these celestial cards that will level up how much your multiplier and your score addition for a certain type of hand is.
Yeah, so it'll say level up straight, or you'll get like a pack
time,
at random. And
if normally for a pair you get times two, now you'll get times three or times four, and it'll level up that like that. You can get these tarot cards, which will add abilities to the cards in your deck themselves. So
are they permanent effects?
That run they are. So you can, you know, put on the seven of diamonds if you're like, okay, I'll use my sevens and my diamonds heaps. So this seven of diamonds will play twice is the effect of this
like
one.
Or double the multiplier. Or
I'll get extra coins at the end of a round if I still have this in my hand.
Right. Yeah.
Lots of things like that. And then the jokers, though, those are your big lads.
Yes.
You've got a set number. It's five unless you get some other jokers that can increase it or whatever. Of these joker cards which go up the top of the screen and have different effects based on these jokers that you're randomly getting presented but can choose which ones you buy.
Yeah, things like every face card adds plus four multi. Every straight now will get you an extra 100 chips.
One extra discard, one extra hand, extra cards in your hand. Like creative ones that are like, it's a glitched out misprint, so it'll give you a random multiplier.
I got that one for the first time last night and I thought, oh, the game's fucking up. And then it's like, no, it's just like a sort of shuffling.
They
like,
got you hook, line, and
they really did. Yeah. So you at the very beginning, the scores that you're having to hit in each hand is pretty low, but you also don't have any like abilities built up yet. And then over time you kind of pick and choose the jokers that are going to be most beneficial. This is what I do at least, and then you start to put your time into seeking out those celestial cards to like really get your hands that you tend to favor, boost them up. You're also every now and then in the shop you're getting the option to buy like just straight up packs of cards that'll just add a card to your deck. So you can do things like some of the tarot cards might change, three cards in the deck to being a certain suit.
Yeah.
So you can go, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll just I'll try and make a deck that's just like got as many clubs in it as I can, or mm-hmm. I'll just go for like higher cards and I'll chase like high straights.
Right.
I'll level up the straight and I'll just really focus on right. that, or I'll level up the flush and then I'll make sure I've like I'm only changing cards into being like one specific type of suit. So you can start to like plan out your strategy like that, and then in each round.
So there's rounds which are playing against a blind, which is just the amount that you have to get to.
It's a set of three, small, big, and then a boss.
Those are antes.
Antes,
sorry. Yeah. So you're going rounds and then antes, but it's all just card words.
Yeah. A small
which
blind.
It was confusing initially because, like, you know, playing poker, it's like, oh, this is not what I thought it meant. But it basically just means like, yeah, like you say, rounds.
It's
kind of
like a world. So it's like you do level one, level two boss.
Yeah.
And the boss will be, the score you've got to hit is significantly bigger, and there's some
effect
either all your diamond cards are debuffed, or
right.
You can only play one type of hand.
Yep.
No discards this round.
There's some.
The very first one is like the first hand you get dealt is face down.
Well, they're random each time.
Oh, right.
So like every run, the bosses will be different.
Right.
And so it can influence what, like looking at that first boss, it can influence your choice of what you might buy in that first round. Because the first tends to be the toughest hurdle to jump over, or just has been for me, because you're so underpowered in that first round.
Yeah, I find it's more like, for me, what trips me up is you can only play one type of hand, or the one where every card you draw after a certain point is face down. Those are the two that once they come up, doesn't matter where they come up, whether it's early or late, they're the ones that completely fuck me up. Not being able to see the cards, or because I had one run where I'd gotten a joker that was, if you sell this, it removes the ability of the boss. And I was like, fuck yeah, this is going to be the one where I go all the way. If I can hang on to this, once one of those comes up that is always the one that trips me up, if I can get rid of that, then I'm golden. And then I just kept getting, I just got up to a score that was just like too hard to beat. Like
right.
I wasn't getting one that like I necessarily really needed to use it on.
That's the one thing with this is that like, so I ended up beating it on the second go.
Right.
Because
I didn't know the bosses changed because I'm still on the same run. Like I've been, I played it for probably an hour and a half and I haven't lost yet. So.
Right. Because it can be a lot, like it's random every time. So the jokers that you're drawing are random. Some of it is around building your strategy based on what you have and then adapting to that initial sort of setup and trying to increase on its effect.
Because you can do like, oh, I'm going to make my deck all clubs or as many clubs as I can. And then you get to a boss where it's like, all clubs are,
or you might randomly get some great cards early just be sort of set, or randomly get a tough boss early. So there is a fair bit of randomness that is a little irritating at times because
it like mucks up the pacing.
Is so much about luck.
Yeah.
And like the cards you're drawing are literally luck and all that stuff.
But I mean that makes sense to me because that's poker. That's all card games are just like.
Yeah. And the game is about trying to stack the deck in your favor. Frequently had me laughing out loud. because you are able to re-roll the cards you've been dealt by paying a little bit of money. So if you like save up early and get a fair bit of money, you like earn interest on the money you've not spent. You can get a fair bit later on and like pretty happily re-roll what's being served to you to fit your strategy for that run.
Yeah, you do also get you get to choose a sort of style of deck at the start of the run and you unlock new ones as you go. So there's like one that'll give you one more card in your hand. One more hand that you can play, one more discard. I've been favoring the one that gives you a bit more money at the start, which I find
big help.
Really help. This is the main one at the beginning that's like, yeah, before I started using that, it's like, well, I can maybe buy like one card in between each round. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, now I'm able to get most of them straight away.
Right.
Especially in those early rounds, if you're playing smart enough and you because you get a bit of money for beating the level and you also get a bonus for how many hands and discards you had left. So if you're playing smart early on and you've got that green deck, you pretty early on you're like, yeah, building up enough money to just really go crazy and get as many of the cards as you want.
It just will be that sometimes there's a run where you get fucked.
But
That is not a big problem because it is super fun to play and the rounds and runs and everything are pretty short.
Because the scores that you're having to hit are like really climbing and you can very easily be on, like the second round or the third round or whatever and you've got a nice little system in place and you're like easily beating that. That's the one thing I wish about it is like when you absolutely thrash the score that you're meant to hit, I wish you got something for that. Like if you have to hit like 300 and you hit like 5,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's such a good feeling and I wish there was like a bit more reward for just like absolutely blitzing it.
There's a ton of stuff like that that I think this, since it was in early access for a bit, I'd imagine they're going to keep doing an update thing and it's just the way games these days. There's a lot of stuff you could see them doing like that with this in the future.
Adding in cards and changing it up a bit. Yeah.
Just the level of how much you're beholden to the early roll, the early draw of just what you get
in those initial
few rounds. You need something that's going to get you cooking along or you're fucked.
Well, that's what I'm saying is like, you can get your five there and you're like, fuck, I am just murdering every score here, just walking it through. But then very quickly you're on like round four and you're like, yeah, I'm sort of barely making it through. You know what I mean? Like you can so quickly go from like, oh, okay, now the scores are getting so high that I'm like, yeah, this isn't the absolute, you know, you're like, oh, I need to start leveling some of these ones up or I need to start like selling some of these jokers and getting more that are, because I've read a lot of stuff that's like, you basically to really get through, like you sort of do essentially need to like break it in a way of like, because you can, again, if you play it right or slash having that luck, you can get that really satisfying run of like, this is triggering this, which triggers this, which triggers this, which triggers this. And then all of a sudden you've got this just like insane multiplayer kind of by accident of just all these things setting each other off, which is so satisfying.
Any jokers that interact with each other to like double each other's chips and multipliers and shit. It's such a cool feeling and it's all animated really well.
Yeah.
Like all the cars have thick little rumbly effects when they kind of trigger their things that are really satisfying. And
they've nailed all of that. They're like the dopamine hit of like a poker machine going off of like ding, 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 ding is so satisfying.
Like if you've got a ton of them all hitting one after the other, it'll slowly speed up as they all go and it feels great.
Your little score window like catches fire.
It's a great, great like podcast game to switch the music off and listen to something in the background.
Yeah.
Would be happy to play it again and again.
Yeah.
I believe this is a one person developed game as well.
Right.
I'll just double check that, but I think I've seen them like tweeting. Actually, I think I saw them tweet like petition to get Balatro as a like Windows operating system pack-in game.
Would love that.
Right.
I wish I could play it on my Mac as well, my laptop that I carry around.
Yes.
It'd be a great phone game.
It'd be a fantastic phone
game. Oh, yeah, yeah.
As you're going through these runs as well, like overall you're unlocking different types of jokers. If you're like seeing them for the first time and you buy it, it'll be unlocked. Or like if you meet certain criteria during a run, like earn over X amount of money or whatever it is.
Yeah, you've got a little challenge window where you can check like things that you've got to tick off to get these new things show up.
That'll be unlocking like the overall sort of archive of different abilities and stuff that will then show up in future runs.
Yeah.
Very
roguelike style.
Yeah, totally. And it does all that stuff really well. And yeah, I echo you guys. It looks great. I love that style. So local Thunk is the solo developer and artist for Balatro. They posted some interesting stuff. I guess I don't ever track this, but like they said, it has been one day since Balatro launched. In that day, Balatro has racked up over 40 years of playtime.
Oh, wow.
And then by day two, 106 years. So obviously really successful game for this solo developer who is clearly very, very creative and intelligent and is, I hope, going to only go on to bigger and better things.
Yeah.
I love the variety and all how the Jokers look.
Yeah. They're all kind of themed really well based on like the, you know, one that gives you a bonus for every like heart card that you play is called like the Lover. And he's like a little playboy guy on there. Like,
I don't remember what the effect of the card is, but there's the Hack, which is a little Joker standing up beside, behind a, you know, in front of a brick wall with a microphone.
Oh, yes, yes.
I don't remember what he does. Be adored by everyone, I assume. lot of great shit there. Cool, like, pixel art looking, yeah, old-fashioned CRT-style things that it hits me in a good spot.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just that this style of game doesn't really ever grab me, but, yeah, it's got me in that thing of either you bow out way too early in a run and you're like, I can do better than that. I'm going back in. Or you have an absolute scorcher and you're like, oh, I've got the momentum now. Back in. Like, it doesn't matter how you go. You're like, you're finding a reason in your head to like go back in immediately.
Right.
Like, yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. And yeah, as someone who does like just general deck building games and card games in general, this is, again, like, for it's just great.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic and one
of
those.
You don't need to know anything about poker to,
nah,
to
it, get it. It's very,
it's yeah, all laid out it, there. Yeah. And
it's got a little, you can push a button to see the like ranking of the hands. And you,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Pretty quickly becomes second nature.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
$20 or something.
Something like that.
Something like that. Forget, yeah. 20 to 30.
You're going to get your money's worth.
Absolutely.
You're absolutely going to get
it. I will buy this again when it's on a phone.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, yeah. I really
hope
that
you can do that. This is like Vampire Survivors. Like, I think I own that in three different places at this point.
I mean, it sounds like, yeah, he will have the wherewithal to port this, which would be fantastic.
Yeah.
It'll only go even better.
Yeah.
Recommend.
Big recommend. Balatro.
Balatro.
Remember the name, hopefully.
Also remember the name Pacific Drive.
Yeah.
Which is the other game that you haven't been playing, Tommy, right?
No, I was going to, but then I got hooked into Balatro and those two other things came out. Yeah.
I had to tear myself away from Balatro. Away, yeah. But me and Ben have been playing a bit of Pacific Drive.
Yeah.
It is It is on the PS5. Mm-hmm. It is on the PC.
Yes, I've been
playing
on the PC.
I don't remember if it's on the Xbox, but I think it might be, but I don't remember.
Okay.
And it's really cool.
Yeah. This one we saw the trailer, I feel like maybe 18 months ago, a couple of years ago even, and had like a really distinct style. And yeah, that sort of log line, the elevator pitch of like car exploration, crafting,
survival.
Yeah. I think intrigued us just enough, like, because that survival crafting game is not necessarily a draw for, I think, any of us.
Mm. There's a lot of them out that are popular that, like, Sons of the Forest just, like, came out fully. And
like, Power World you got into, and that is very much that as well.
But I just tend to not, unless there's that extra sort of bit there.
Yeah.
Which this, yeah, really has, but because you are, so it, you it's 1998. You're driving through the woods.
Yep.
You get warped into a weird place that the government has fenced off.
Yes, I talked about the movie Stalker on a bonus pod recently.
Yeah.
And it's like, obviously, yeah, they've drawn direct inspiration. The zone is set up. Some mysterious shit happens inside the zone. And wouldn't you know it, you end up inside the zone.
You're in there and you're...
I'm in the zone, Jerry!
Once you're in the zone...
Like they call you breaches, like stalk, like it's very,
You're the driver at some point because you find a car.
Yes.
That they explain to you is like a cursed object that has latched itself onto you.
Mm.
And there's some bits and pieces, these people talking to you over the radio who are like researchers in there who are like, this hasn't happened for 30 years, blah, blah, blah. Which is I'm really liking all those little bits of story. The voice acting from, there's only three people talking to me at this point.
Yes, the two guys and then the woman. Yeah.
And they've clearly got some backstory, but mm-hmm. there's well delivered radio conversations of them talking to you, telling you what to do and slowly revealing bits and pieces about what's happened here and what's going on and some shady shit's happened and blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And yeah, so this cursed car that you have gotten attached to is a really clever, well-made thrust to get you through the survival game. It is your thing that you are upgrading.
Mm-hmm.
It's your backpack. It's your mode of transportation, you might be shocked to know. And it's like...
It's your shield.
It's your shield.
It's a bin. That's what I use my car as.
it is as well.
Yeah.
And it is a nightmare as well to look after. It is an expensive fucking burden.
Okay.
Which is
the
true
rego
to life.
In the fucking zone. Oh my God. Dude,
it's crazy. It, no one's even on the roads here. Yeah. Actually, there's so much shit in the middle of the
there
road.
There is shit on the
all
roads.
The time.
Yeah.
So you are going out on little expeditions. Mm-hmm. You've got sort of a overworld map and you go between little distinct separate sections of the world that are constantly warping and changing and shifting because it's a crazy world where shit's gone wrong and there's a bunch of warps and shit.
But yeah, you're like, you'll be in a sort of area that you can freely drive around, but you can, when you do go onto like a new location, there's like a loading screen and you pop up in a new area.
While you're there, you're driving around the place gathering resources. So you'll open up your map and maybe see a little camp of buildings somewhere. Drive over to them. There'll be different types of locks that you've got to get through with different tools to get different types of gatherable items like chemicals or fabric or duct tape and whatever. Using these as well as this like type of energy that is stored in spots around these maps in these balls that you can put into a machine in your car that is then also the currency that lets you drive on to the next area.
Okay.
So you're gathering all that stuff. Once you gather those like energy balls, you activate a portal to get out of there or to get home.
Yeah.
And it does this really cool thing where like you can only activate it once you're far enough away from it. You can't be too close. But once you activate it, shit starts kicking off and going weird. So you got to drive there real quick.
Yeah. Right.
So you'll switch on the portal and then like this alert will come up on your car being like, drive, drive.
Yes.
And stuff will be chasing
and you'll be
after
like,
you.
Oh shit, I'm still in park.
Yeah. God, I wish I bought this on the PC rather than the PS5 because I'm fucking looking over real weird with the analog stick
to
take myself into park and turn the ignition on.
Yep.
Because you're looking around your car's cockpit to interact with bits of the car. Like there's a map screen next to you and the handbrake and the keys. And
yeah. And there is like shortcuts for like
the wipers,
headlights and the wipers and stuff that you'll obviously just use constantly while you're driving around.
And the horn.
Oh, yeah.
I love honking that thing. While you're out there, there's a bunch of like weird kind of alien looking shit driving around with really great like sound design and shit.
So yes,
super creepy out in the forest. You'll hear like a type of noise. I think I've recreated it perfectly.
Yeah.
And there might be some strange things that'll like latch onto your car and zap it, send all the electrics crazy. Or some big bastard rumbling under the road that'll knock you about if it hits you. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's the loop. You're going out, driving in this risky area, gathering as much shit as you can, getting home, and then improving your car with the various little pit stops and stations you've got in your workshop to, like, there's a computer with a skill tree, essentially.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, crafting and, you know, repairing stuff and
upgrading like the types of panels or doors or whatever that you can put on your cars to make them steel eventually and then better, and like different attachments, like better radars for finding more things and better tires that won't burst as often. You're repairing your car all the time.
Yes. Yep. And so the loop isn't just getting stuff to upgrade the car. There is there's story stuff where the people who are on the radio are telling you like, well, if you want to blah, 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 then you'll need to go and find this stuff and you'll need to put this together. So there is this, narrative thrust. But yeah, as you say, at the same time, you're constantly working on the car as well because that's how you're getting around and you're surviving the crazy zone.
It's a really good mix. I think they've like got it about right to the point I'm up to. I've only played a few hours, but there's always a clear direction, but it's up to you to get there type of thing. Mm. So, if you try, like for a while it'll be easy, you'll be able to get through the first handful of story missions, but then at some point it'll ask you to go further than you're really capable of, so it'll be up to you to go and figure out how to upgrade your car and what's worth it and what's not.
Prioritize certain aspects of it depending on how you want to play,
because there'll be like sort of a checklist you can bring up of stuff you should take with you, which includes like repair putty, which you can chuck on any part of the car to repair it. Or
flares,
like puncture kits for your tires, stuff like that, sealant for like cracks in the windows. There's a lot going on, and it's a lot of pretty tiny text, intimidating looking menus.
Right.
But but it does flow well enough that I haven't felt overwhelmed by it. I've felt curious.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I think that especially early on, if you just focus on ticking off the checkbox and then being like, well, I'll just drive out there and see what happens.
Yeah.
It becomes obvious to you as things happen what you need to do and how to do it. You just sort of build up that skill set organically. It does transition from that very, very initial opening where it's like no HUD and you just kind of like, it's literally like the first 10 minutes, very natural seeming and you're just driving around in a car, to like a million things on the screen.
Right.
And like the maps are, the menus are very detailed and finicky, and it presents you immediately with like, you know, 25 things that you could craft if you had, and it's not necessarily relevant.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
Yeah, I feel like you just got to tune that out to an extent and like follow the story initially.
Focus on the open road.
There's a pretty clear bit when they tell you to get to like a wall or something where it's clear that like now it's the bit where maybe go and do your own thing for a while and see what happens.
Right. Yeah, okay.
So follow the lady's advice until then.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause yeah, I felt pretty well onboarded, or whatever shit term I want to use for you know, they sit you down and get you to do the HR quiz and all
that. Yeah. This is your email and your password and this is the kitchen. this is the toilet.
I don't think it's like reinventing the wheel. Two for two. That's not enough for an hour. But it's...
Yeah, it's two loves per 60 minutes.
It's... Like doing a similar thing to what a bunch of games like this have done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think the way it uses your car as your like traveling base and your traveling upgrade and like this pal that you've kind of got, it's done really well.
Yeah. That's a neat idea. I mean, that's the big point of difference.
That's
right?
The hook.
It's the like stylistic. Like,
and it's, you're not just like plodding around and in any of these other sort of survival games where you're walking or running.
Mm.
And all of that stuff feels like busy work, whereas this, it's like, it's fun to drive around.
Yeah.
And the car drives really well. It's like quite a solid, realistic feeling car.
Yeah. Even like I'm just playing on a PC with like, you know, the WASD, and even that feels like pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I imagine I did consider syncing up my controller, but it sounds like maybe having the mouse as the free look is maybe a bit more convenient.
It's sort of a trade-off where like I love the stuff it's doing with the vibration and the triggers and stuff on the controller,
right.
And it does feel good for driving around. It's just the looking around to do your handbrake, it's basically
little, yeah.
That is slightly awkward,
yeah, right.
But not too bad, because you're also kind of looking to your side manually with the right stick to look at your map,
right?
You've got a little sort of like funky looking unit
seat.
In the passenger seat, yeah, a little screen and stuff.
Right, right.
But and also, yeah, like aesthetically, it's sick. I really like it. I like sort of the graphic design of it, like the menus and stuff. But then also just, yeah, the look of the world.
It looks a little bit like Outer Wilds, it reminds me of a bit.
Yep.
It's got a touch of that type of like that well-tuned, well-thought-out, good version of that 3D indie game look. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's a bit of a cheap way to describe it, but... You know what I mean?
Not overly textured and detailed and stuff, but, you know, everything that is there is well-designed and looks cool. And
the
like,
lighting especially is really great.
Yeah.
Like, it does a day-night cycle sort of thing where driving between these different areas will take a certain amount of time. And as it transitions into night, you actually are in trouble at night. If your headlights break, it's so dark.
Yeah.
Right.
And it does... The world feels dangerous in a really cool way where... You feel safe in your car and when you can drive around, but then if a tire bursts or you've got to drive through some woods and avoid the trees and shit
because
the road over there is a bit fucked, it feels risky in a very satisfying way.
Yeah,
cool.
I'm keen to try this out.
It's a damn good game.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm liking it a lot. It doesn't run great. It's a little...
I bumped it all up to max settings and there was a bit of hitching and stuff, so I had to dial it down a little bit. But that made it run pretty fluidly
on
PC. On
the PS5, it's sort of zipping up and down a little bit. But it's not terrible. It's just, not perfect.
Yeah, it's all that lighting and those, like, particle effects and stuff like that, which is, add to the atmosphere, but... It can chug a little bit.
It looks great. I'm really enjoying. Again, I'm only a few hours in, and I think it's going out the window when Final Fantasy comes out in a couple of days.
Yeah.
I am interested to see if over time I get a little sick of it.
Yeah.
Because it is a loop, and I'll be interested to see what wrinkles they throw into the loop to make it engaging for the length of time that it ends up being.
Because that novelty of like, oh, it's a car and it's a different, if it's a differentiation, you know, from these other games that are
differentiation.
Okay.
Yeah. Three for three.
Operator gear stick. whether or not that wears off. I do still think it is far my preference in terms of the traversal and stuff. For this kind of game, and then wrap in the aesthetic, and baby, we got a fun little time.
I'm interested in what the story's doing. Yeah, it's worth having a look at if it interests you, because I think there's a demo of it too. Because
there definitely was. Yeah, there was around that Steam Next Fest, but if there's one on PS5,
give it a crack because it's satisfying and well made. I'm enjoying my time with Pacific Drive.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Well, we'd better wrap it up there for another week on Filthy Casuals. Thank you for joining us next week.
Yes.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah, first impressions from probably just Adam. Tommy and I might be able to somehow play. I guess I played a bunch of the demo, the open world stuff as well.
Yeah. But you and I, we have a booking at the Square Enix Cafe.
Yes.
For the first day of their Final Fantasy VII Rebirth collab event.
Yeah, we'll be able to review that.
It's a collab with themselves. We've been sent a list by a listener of the show, Chiharu, who lives in Tokyo or just out of Tokyo, of all the different shops over there that have lost a very thorough list that includes things like, if you go to Lawson and get a takeaway coffee, you get a special paper Final Fantasy VII cup.
Yeah.
So we're gonna hit
the ground.
It's my
dream come true, honestly.
We're gonna try and visit as much of that kind of stuff as we can on that side of it.
Yes. I'll have played 150 hours of it.
Yeah. So we'll have the whole. That's next week is your one stop shop for
all angles.
Literally everything Final Fantasy VII Rebirth from the game and beyond.
Yeah.
But until then, get on the Patreon. Get yourself a bonus extra show every week.
Yes.
Get on the YouTube channel. We got heaps of videos on there of us doing Let's Plays and one-offs. Hundreds and hundreds of videos for you to check out. Come and see us at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival in April, Sundays, 3 p.m. at the Cooper's Inn. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Oh, Xbox did that podcast conference thing. Should we talk about that?
Oh yeah, we haven't covered that yet, have we?
We haven't. We literally didn't.
Nah, let's talk about it next week.
All right. We'll remember.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.